AAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 8 o'clock, we have partly sunny skies and 59 degrees in Atlantic. We look for a slight chance of showers this morning. Otherwise, mostly sunny and windy conditions, a high of 78. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments in Atlantic. The Vision Iowa Board has awarded nearly $1.1 million in grants to a public garden in Jefferson, community centers in Templeton and Emmitsburg, a backcountry trail in Coon Rapids, and an amphitheater in Waverly. The grants were approved Wednesday by the Vision Iowa Board at their meeting in Des Moines. A $400,000 Community Attraction and Tourism, or CAT, grant was awarded for the opening White Rock, Iowa's Backcountry Trail Association attraction in Coon Rapids. The organization had requested $404,785 toward the total project cost of just over $4.22 million. The award is contingent upon completion of fundraising within 60 days. The project includes a construction of 35 miles of state-of-the-art soft trails through a 7-mile landscape at White Rock Conservancy and the remodeling of the visitor center and trail signage. News time is 8:01.
You're home most of the time just watching television, and you don't have any problems hearing the TV, so you don't need to have your hearing tested.
At family functions, everyone pretty much leaves you alone anyway, so you don't need a hearing evaluation.
At the doctor's office, your wife asks all the questions, and she'll help you get all the medications right once you get home. You don't need to hear everything the doctor says.
When everyone at coffee is laughing and having a good time telling jokes, it doesn't bother you. You just laugh along with them so they don't think you didn't get it. The fact that you missed the punchline is okay. You don't like dumb jokes anyway, and you definitely don't need to get your hearing evaluated.
During your last performance evaluation, you didn't get the raise you expected. Your boss says he's tired of repeating instructions, and if things don't improve, your job might be in jeopardy. Maybe it is time to get your hearing checked.
This is Doug Leonard, audiologist at ASI. If you're tired of missing out on quality time with your family, of missing the punchlines with your friends, and maybe even falling behind at work, there is hope. Take control of your life. Call today for a hearing evaluation. ASI, with offices in Atlantic, Audubon, Manning, and Carroll. Hear better, live better.
The city of Avoca has been awarded an Iowa Department of Natural Resources REAP, or Resource Enhancement and Protection Grant, amounting to $75,000. City Manager Clint Fichter said the grant money will be used for the construction of a 1-mile segment of the Nishnabotna Trail, which will connect the community to the new pedestrian bridge to Edgington Memorial Park. The $243,850 bridge will soon be constructed with the assistance of an additional $171,392 grant from the Iowa DOT. REAP invests in projects that enhance and protect the Iowa's natural and cultural resources. 15% of REAP is set aside for grants to cities for projects that help to establish natural areas, encourage outdoor recreation, and resource management. A decision made by the City Council in Avoca earlier this week will make for easier for some residents to get to a local park, which sits on the opposite side of the river. According to the Daily Nonpareil, the Avoca City Council on Tuesday approved a bid of just under $243,850, as I mentioned, for the construction of a pedestrian bridge that will connect East Thomas Street to Edgington Memorial Park by spanning the East Nishnabotna River. The project was originally estimated to cost $342,984. The city has not decided when construction will begin. City Manager Clint Fichter told the paper the river made it difficult for pedestrians because it separates Edgington Memorial Park from the rest of town. The expected result is to provide a quicker route for those who live on the east side of Avoca. The bridge will be 120 feet long and 12 feet wide and will be made from steel and have a wooden deck. In 2012, the city of Avoca was awarded more than $171,400 from the Regional Planning Area 18 for the project. The city will spend $72,452 on the project, the funds of which will come through TIF, or Tax Increment Financing, funding. Avoca was also awarded a $75,000 Resource and Enhancement Protection Grant, as I mentioned a moment ago, from the Iowa DNR for the bridge. A portion of Interstate 80 in western Iowa that was closed overnight Wednesday into Thursday morning to repair a collapsed portion of the shoulder that could have affected the entire width of the three-lane road reopened Thursday morning just in time for the rush hour. Troy German with the Iowa Department of Transportation's District 4 office in Atlantic told KJAN News the road reopened at 8 a.m. on Thursday. German says contrary to some earlier reports, the interstate itself did not collapse at around 8:15 p.m. Thursday and create a 10-foot gap, 2 to 3 feet wide.
It was just the shoulder that fell in, and that's when they stopped and investigated to find out how far the void did go.
German says the situation began to unfold while crews were installing a pipe beneath the road. located between exits 1A and 4 in Council Bluffs.
We're still not sure exactly what made the void, but some contractors were jacking a pipe underneath the eastbound lanes there and found the void, and the outside shoulder fell in as they were jacking this pipe through, so they stopped what they were doing. We got traffic off the roadway to investigate to see how far that void went underneath the roadway. And
German,
it actually went all the way across the roadway.
German says the crews worked throughout the night to make sure the road would be open as quickly as possible.
Once they investigated and found the void across the whole thing, what they did is cut that section out, about a 10-foot wide section across all three lanes, backfilled that with granular material, and then put a patch of pavement in on top of that.
Elsewhere in area news, a man from southwest Iowa was injured during an accident Monday morning 4 miles south of Glenwood in Mills County. Sheriff's officials say Dennis James of Tabor was driving a 2005 Ford eastbound on Highway 34 at around 10:35 a.m. when his vehicle was hit from behind by a 1998 Ford. The driver of the other vehicle, Peyton Frederick of Corning, was attempting to light a cigarette when the collision occurred. The impact caused a trailer being pulled by James's vehicle to become detached, while the vehicle and trailer came to rest on the eastbound shoulder of the road. And officials say during the impact, the airbags in Frederick's vehicle deployed. Dennis James was transported by Glenwood Rescue to a hospital in Council Bluffs. A passenger in his vehicle, Gail Steinbach, also of Tabor, suffered unknown injuries. Frederick was cited for following too closely. Mills County Sheriff's Office said yesterday three men were arrested this week on probation-related charges. All three were taken into custody on Wednesday. 28-year-old Brett Allen Coyle of Glenwood was arrested at around noon Wednesday on a Pott County warrant at the Pott County Sheriff's Office on a Mills County warrant for violation of his probation. Coyle's bond was set at $5,000. 20-year-old Tyler Gene Coddington of Red Oak was arrested at the Pott County Jail also on Wednesday on a Mills County warrant for violation of his probation. Bond was set at $10,000. And 18-year-old Dominic James Schloop of Hastings was arrested Wednesday at the Mills County Jail on a warrant for revocation of his probation. Bond was set at $5,000. Mills County Sheriff's Office reports also the arrest on Wednesday of 33-year-old Timothy Eugene Trulick of Pacific Junction. He was taken into custody at the Mills County Jail at around 3:40 p.m. on a warrant for harassment. His bond was set at $2,000. Athletic High School Guidance Counselor Craig Fredin said the counseling staff at AHS will host a college planning meeting for juniors and seniors and their parents on Thursday, October 17th at 7 p.m. in the high school auditorium. During the meeting, a representative of the College Planning Center in Des Moines will present a program which addresses a variety of topics, including admission requirements, school selection, dual high school college level classes, career and college computer searches, and financial aid information. Counselors from the high school will also be on hand to answer questions and explain other career and financial aid materials available at the Atlantic High School. The Harlan Community School District saw another reduction in their allowable growth aid for special education students. In a board meeting held Monday, the board approved a balance of $56,512 for the allowable growth and supplemental aid for negative special education. The district in the past 3 years has seen a reduction totaling $300,000 in their special education debt. Harlan Community School District Superintendent Justin Wagner said the reduction deals with more federal dollars to the district.
The primary reason for that was because we were able to find some nooks and crannies and some loopholes in the Medicaid funding. And what that does is brings federal dollars back into the district. And so to the tune of, you can see the significance of the drop. So a huge kudos to the staff. But in the long run, it's a huge win for taxpayers.
He says the district hopes to have a surplus in special education by next year.
We have a goal for that for next year, and then maybe starting to. Now we have a surplus of funds from the federal government, which again isn't local dollars, which I get really proud of. You know, I mean, we keep hitting our local folks up for everything, and it's good to have an outside funding source for this.
In national news headlines, Republican senators who will meet with President Obama at the White House today say they'll present their own options for ending the partial government shutdown and the debt limit standoff. Yesterday, Obama met with House GOP leadership. The debt standoff is likely to be the prime topic when the 188-nation International Monetary Fund and the World Bank meet in Washington this weekend. Stock futures have been rising this morning, with the Dow Industrials poised to add to yesterday's gain of more than 300 points. Investors seem to be encouraged that the odds of the first U.S. default in history may be growing slimmer. KJAN News Time is 8:10.
Listen carefully and think what your life would be like if you were constantly faced with
embarrassment, fatigue, irritability, tension and stress, anger, avoidance of social activities,
depression, negativism, danger to personal safety, reduced general health, loneliness, social isolation,
impaired memory, less adaptability to learning new tasks, paranoia, reduced coping skills, and reduced overall psychological health.
So what is it? Heart disease, cancer, or some other serious illness? For many of these diseases, the prognosis may be terminal, but the symptoms you just heard are actually linked to hearing loss. And for that, there is hope, whether the loss is mild or profound. This is Doug Leonard, audiologist with ASI. Hearing loss doesn't have to be a source of embarrassment or depression or any of the other symptoms you just heard. You can avoid many, if not all of them, by treating your hearing loss with hearing aids. Today's hearing aids offer technology that has given back what so many patients thought they'd lost for good. And it starts with an evaluation. Call today, ASI, with offices in Atlantic, Audubon, Manning, and Carroll. Hear better, live better.
In the funeral announcements, Lyle William Hayes, age 94, of Guthrie Center, died Sunday at the new homestead in Guthrie Center. Funeral services for Lyle Hayes will be today at 10 o'clock at the First Christian Church in Guthrie Center. Twig Funeral Home in Guthrie Center has arrangements. Dorothy Bauer Kemper, age 82, of Des Moines and formerly of Walnut, died Tuesday in Des Moines. A massive Christian burial service for Dorothy Bauer Kemper will be held tomorrow at 10:30 at St. Patrick's Catholic Church in Walnut. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Avoca is in charge of the arrangements. Joanne Viegas, age 75, of Irwin, died Tuesday. Funeral services for Joanne Viegas will be tomorrow at 10:30 at St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Irwin. Odie Funeral Home in Manila has arrangements. Kathleen McDaniel, age 59, of Harlan, died October 5th in Council Bluffs. Memorial services for Kathleen McDaniel will be tomorrow at 2 o'clock at the Abundant Life Church in Harlan. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Norma Mitten, age 85, of Hamilton, Missouri, and formerly of Kirkman, died October 3rd. Funeral services for Norma Mitten will be tomorrow at 2 o'clock at the Kendall Chapel Church in rural Hamilton, Missouri. Kevin Butch William Schwizo, age 54, of Harlan, died October 3rd at the Nebraska Medical Center in Omaha. There will be no funeral service for Butch Schwizo, but a visitation will be held tomorrow from 9 a.m. until 9 p.m. at the Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan, where the family will greet friends from 6 until 8 p.m. on Saturday. Donald W. Paul, age 90, a longtime Atlantic resident, died Wednesday at his home. Services for Don Paul are pending at the Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic. And Richard Carl, age 87, of Harlan, died Wednesday in Erling. Funeral services for Richard Carl are currently pending at the Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan. The news was brought to you by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments, at 601 Poplar in Atlantic. Call 243-5796. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.